To worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Eyes of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our King and from Jesus Christ our Savior, the Lord of Lords. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of God. Have you thought about that lately? The eyes of God? I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Does God actually have eyes, do you think? Does he see? Does he not see? What does he see? What does God not see? And actually, what do God's eyes look like? Does the Bible actually tell us? Well, let's take a look at these things today and see what we can learn together about the eyes of the Almighty. What God wants to teach us about that by the Scripture. So let's understand that better today. What can we say of that? Well, first, I just want to start out by saying eyes are a really beautiful part of our bodies, aren't they? Isn't that the thing that you're first attracted to or see in a person? I know for Beth, that's my favorite part about her, is her eyes. My wife, her eyes, I think, are like the eyes of a doe, of a deer. A female deer, you know, like the song. Chocolate. They're like chocolate to me. They're so beautiful. I have blue-green eyes, and it's kind of neat because whenever I have a blue shirt on, they look blue, and whenever I have a green shirt on, I have a green look green. So whenever I get my driver's license, I always wear a blue shirt, so it looks like I have blue eyes. Our eyes actually change color, a lot of us, when we're babies. They go from blue, and they can turn into brown as we get older, and others stay blue. Yeah, blue, green, hazel, brown. And women, it seems, like to accent their eyes a lot, if I can say it that way. I mean, you have things like, I don't even know, what, mascara, right? Eyeliner, eyelash, eye this and that. I don't even know. You know. But accenting of the eyes. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the eyes are the windows to the soul. Can't you read a lot about a person in his eyes? I mean, poker players make a lifestyle of this, right? They read all the other opponents at the table, their cards in their hand, by just looking at what their eyes betray. You know, eyes, you can see a person's joy in them. If a person is lit up with joy and energy and life, you can see it in the eyes. If a person's depressed, you can see that crushed spirit in the eyes and the lack of hope. You can see the deadness and the beaten downness of the eyes. When a person is mean, you can see the eyes. I know when I was on 520 one time driving over past, like, by the mall area, I came up to a stoplight, and another guy pulled up next to me, and he was blasting this heavy, heavy, angry, heavy metal rock music. And I just looked over at him, and he looked over at me, and I tell you, his eyes were the steely cold eyes of death. He looked like absolute evil. I haven't seen that very often, but it went with his music, I'll tell you. It was scary. You can also see Christ in a person's eyes. Remember when I used to sail a schooner up in Maine, captaining a little schooner up there, and I had many guests on, and one couple, I didn't know at the time, was a Missouri Synod pastor and his wife. And after they're getting off the boat, and we hadn't really talked about spiritual things, but they said, God bless you in Christ. And I said, oh, great, you're Christians. I'm a Christian too. And they said, you didn't have to say that. We knew it already. They said, we saw it in your eyes. We could see Christ. Can't you do that? You can see Christ in a person's eyes. The eyes really are the windows of the soul. They're amazing. What I want to ask you then about is, does God have eyes? Does he see? Our eyes are beautiful, but what about God's? What do you think? Does God see? What's the good book say? What's the Bible say? Well, let's open up here. You tell me. I'm reading here in 1 Kings 15, verse 11. And King Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father had done. He put away the male cult prostitutes out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Does God have eyes? Did Asa do what was right in the eyes of the Lord? Sure, God has eyes. He sees what's right that's done on the earth. He also sees what's wrong. Just as one example, you look over here at 2 Kings chapter 16. Another king, King Ahaz, was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He even burned his son as an offering, according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. So what do you think? Does God have eyes? Yes or no? Yes. Bible says God definitely has eyes, and his eyes look down upon the earth seeking justice. He notes what's right and what's done wrong upon the earth. And what do you think his eyes look like? If you were to see them, you know, we got blue, we got green, we got hazel, we got brown. What do God's eyes look like? Well, if you open up to Revelation chapter 1, John saw in a vision, he says, his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. Think about that. We got blue, we got green, we got brown, we got whatever. God's eyes look like fire. Isn't that beautiful? How piercing, like lightning. Amazing are his eyes. So does the world believe what I'm talking about right now? You know, Christians believe God has eyes and looks upon the earth and sees everything. The world doesn't believe this, basically. The Almighty does not see. Number one, either because they believe there is no God, so he can't see because he isn't there, or number two, oh, okay, there's a God, but he certainly can't see everything. That's impossible. It's too much to see, so he must miss a lot of things. Where is this written in the Bible? Well, let's go over here to Psalm 10. We read there, in the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. The wicked's ways prosper at all times. Thy judgments are on high, out of his sight. So for a wicked person, does he believe that there's a God? No. And how about God's judgments? They're too high. He's like traveling in this valley. God's judgments are up among the clouds of the mountains. He can't even tell what God is seeing. And then he sets himself to destroy the poor, the psalm goes on. His eyes stealthily watch for the hapless. He lurks in secret like a lion in his covert, that he may seize the poor when he draws them into his net. The hapless is crushed, sinks down, and falls by his might. And the wicked man thinks in his heart, God has forgotten. He's hidden his face. He'll never see it. Isn't that true? Difference really between Christians and then the world is that we know God sees everything, and the world says, no, he hasn't seen it. We can do things in secret. He's forgotten. He's hidden his face. He hasn't taken note. And therefore, they go after sin. And isn't that the truth? I mean, think about this. If the world knew that God had eyes and that he was looking upon the earth and seeing everything, taking careful notes and writing them out down in his book for judgment, would they go after sin? You wouldn't do it, right? But because you don't believe that God has eyes and sees these things, therefore they go after sin with abandon because they think, I'll get away with it. No one can see. I can do things in secret. Do we see that in the Bible, actually? People thinking they can hide from God? Name somebody. Noah. How's that? Jonah. Yep. David. Yeah, David did, right? He thought he could sleep with Bathsheba and God wouldn't notice it. Yeah. Okay, you got a lot of good answers there. That's good. You can write the whole sermon for me. I like that. You got Adam and Eve. Think about that. They sin and they think they can hide behind a bush and God won't find them. Did that work? You're not going to hide behind a bush and get away from God. God found them out. You got Jonah, Art mentioned. He tried to run and flee from the presence of the Lord, so he went down to the ocean, and he got on a ship and paid his fare to go to faraway Tarshish to flee away from the presence of the Lord. But did that work for him? God saw exactly where he was and hurled a great storm after him. He says, Jonah, you're going where I told you you're going to go. So a lot of people think that they can hide from God, do deeds in secret, go into dark places, into corners, do things at night, and God won't observe. And therefore, they go after these things because they think There's no calling to account for these. God doesn't see. That's the way of the world. Just like if you're driving down the highway. You guys ever done this? Where you're maybe going a little fast and someone on the other side flashes a light at you to indicate what? There's a policeman up ahead with a radar gun. What do? You slam on the brakes, you slow down, you drive the speed limit, and everybody's driving the speed limit. Why? Because they think now they're being seen. They have the knowledge that there's someone up there who's going to call them to account. As soon as they don't think there's a policeman around, it's 70, 80, 90, 100. Hopefully none of you doing that. They go as fast as they want because they think no one sees them and there's no calling to account. And they break the law in a thousand ways. This is what it is with respect to God. People don't think he sees, and therefore they go as fast as they like. They don't fear, for they say, who is there to stop me? Let me ask you a question then. What's the danger of that way of thinking? Like God doesn't see. What's the danger of it? The danger is he does see. And that way of thinking is dead wrong, and he will call to account. Let's read that in the scriptures, because this is God's word. He tells us the truth. Psalm 33. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From where he sits enthroned, he looks forth on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Where's God right now? On his throne in heaven. Is he looking down and observing us today in this sanctuary, what we're doing? How much does he see? He sees everything we're doing. The Bible also says, remember, to Samuel, God said, the Lord doesn't see as a man sees. The man just looks on the outward appearance of things. The Lord looks upon the heart. And Jesus says in Revelation and in Jeremiah and many other places, I am he who searches the mind and the heart to give to each of you as your works deserve. His word, it says, we're all open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We're all naked before him. He sees everything and always everything that's done upon the face of the earth. Is that amazing to you? Now, we even see that amongst human beings, don't we? Or more so in this technological age. Do you know when you go on the computer or visit a website or go onto YouTube, everything's being recorded? Does that make you a little scared about what you go onto on the YouTube? Isn't that funny when you go onto YouTube and then all of a sudden next time you go on YouTube, it brings up all your favorite things or things related to it? It's like, how did they know that? Someone's tracking me. I actually had a lady on my boat, because I run a charter boat, for those of you don't know, I'm also a sailing captain. But I had a lady on there some time ago. She said that her phone, she got in the car on a Saturday morning and it told her, turn left, turn right, and it was taking her to the gym. She never told her phone that she was going to the gym. It knew already, because it had mapped out where she normally goes at particular times of the week. And her phone, without even talking to her, said how to get to the gym. She didn't even tell her phone how she was going, where she was going. It knew. You think Big Brother's watching? I think I saw in John McAfee, who's in, you know, McAfee for protecting your computer. He was on Fox News in an interview. He said, if you have a router in your home, the CIA or our government or anybody that hacks in that same kind of way can access your router, any phone or tablet or computer that's attached to it, they can turn it on even if it's not on. They can turn on listening devices so they'll hear anything going on, and they'll also can turn on the camera and see out of your phone if you have your phone with you. You don't have to tell it, they'll do it. They don't need passwords, they don't need nothing. They can do that. Let me ask you a question. Does that make you put you into a little bit more careful attention to what you're doing on the internet? And what you're doing with you? No, not for you. All right? Well, think about this. If mortal man is able to know and look as Big Brother into your lives, even when you don't know that they are, if they wanted to, how about Big Father? Our God in heaven, whom the scriptures say looks down from heaven and observes all the deeds that are done upon the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. And the dangerous thing about this is that he notes everything, good or evil, for judgment. For he's coming to judge the world. Therefore, God warns the world with words like this in Psalm 94. When people are saying, the Lord doesn't see, the God of Jacob doesn't perceive, God says, in verse 8, understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? Y'all got eyes, right? Do you see me up here right now? You've got eyes. Who put them there? Do you know your eyes are not just eyes? They're so amazing. You've got a retina and a cornea and an iris and a macula and an optic nerve, and you're actually seeing me upside down right now. But your brain is able to take it and go and make it right side up. All these things are going on. You can see 10 to the 14th power, which is 100 trillion candelas per square meter. What on earth that means, I don't know, but I read it. God put it in there. When I play tennis, I can perceive the ball, the depth, the speed, the distance. If it hits a crack and jumps toward me, I can make a quick adjustment. All that's in my eye. If you look even at a fly's eye, they've got up to 6,000 eyes in each one of their eyes. So they have 12,000 eyes. No wonder you can't hit them with a fly swatter. And are you telling me, O world, O foolish world, that the God who puts 12,000 eyes into a fly doesn't see himself? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Come on, God sees. He formed the eye, and we need to fix that into our hearts and minds today. God sees us. And the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Job 34 says, for his eyes are away upon the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There's no gloom or darkness where evildoers may hide themselves. And God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So what does God do when he looks down upon the earth and he's judging and noting right and wrong? The Bible says he's forgetting these things. What's he doing? Writing everything down. Putting them in a book. And at the judgment time, we read in Revelation that when Jesus comes, he sits upon his throne and books are opened. And also the book of life is opened. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. How does that make you feel? Nervous or happy? Both? Yeah, I'd say both probably. Because we've done a lot of evil deeds probably in our days in secret corners we don't want anybody to know. Has God written them in his book? And then the beautiful thing is when we believe in Christ who died for us, God erases those. He doesn't remember them against us, and he writes our name into another book called the Book of Life. But there is a day of accounting, friends. A day when the books will be opened. And when people think they're getting away with things today because, I've done it and there have been no repercussions. God must not have seen. I'm getting away with it. No. God's writing them all down in his book, and those books are going to be opened, and there's going to be a day of accounting from the records that are written there. You ever wonder why God's not acting right now and judging the wicked or unjust people? Well, sometimes he does, but really he's just writing them all down. I think about that virus that attacked our computer and the people who are trying to ransom our computer and encrypt it. Every time that computer gets attacked, a virus attacks somebody else, God's going, Think about how exponential that is. So it should put a person in fear, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he's done in the body. And we read also in the Bible, when the Lord comes, he'll bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then every man will receive his commendation from God. Amen. So let me ask you, what should be our eyes? What should be our perspective with respect to God's eyes as Christians? What should we think of it? Well, first of all, let's keep this in mind, that God sees everything all the time. This is the truth. His eyes are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good, says Proverbs 15. And Hebrews 4, before him no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The second thing about God's eyes is do this. Let it put the fear of God into you, because Proverbs also says, by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Now, I told you a couple weeks ago, when my daughter Naomi was 5 years old, remember this story? And she went and put her hand in the cookie jar. The sugar jar. We found sugar all over the place. We're like, what's this? Uh-oh, Naomi's been in the sugar. Little tiny tot, you know? And so we told her, don't do that. Well, short time later, we heard, while we were taking a nap, I heard a stool moved over to the counter. Then I heard the cabinet door opening, so I crept up behind her. I got really close, and she's going in, and I waited till her hand was in the sugar jar, and I go, Naomi. And she turned around and turned into a puddle of goo. She learned that her father sees even when she doesn't think her father's around and sees. We as Christians, unlike the world, know our father sees even if we don't know that he sees, we know that he sees. And so by the fear of that, we depart from evil because we know that we shouldn't go the way of sin. That would not go well for us. We also, this drives us to do right. Because think of this is one of my favorite words in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 16 says, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show his might in behalf of those whose heart is blameless toward him. You know what that's the word of? An aggressive search. Just picture God's eyes are like me right now, running this way and running that, looking through the earth, quickly scanning, running across the globe, seeking to find someone whose heart is blameless toward him so that he might go and show his might on their behalf. Isn't that an encouragement to you to do what's right? Listen to this word. When our eyes of our heart are on him, his eyes are upon us. Just like Jehoshaphat. The great enemies were surrounding Jerusalem. And he prays to God, oh God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And God says, don't be afraid. You don't need to fight in this battle. My eyes are upon you. And they went out, and the enemy was taken care of by the Lord. And they had 3 days to take up all the spoil. Put your eyes on the Lord and seek his favor. Seek to live before him blamelessly. His eyes are looking around the earth to find you and that he may bless you. And then remembering these things, that God judges all things, that puts us in the fear of the Lord because we're all sinners. What does this knowledge do? It drives us to Jesus Christ. Because apart from a Savior, how will you be saved? You can't be saved. If everything I've done in my life is written in books, and everything that was secret and covered up is going to be revealed on the day of the Lord, I need a Savior. Do you need a Savior? The eyes of the Lord teaching drives us to him who died for us, who rose again, who gives us eternal life and forgiveness of sins by grace, that we, believing on him, be saved. And then God says, you put your eyes, my people, you put your eyes on Jesus Christ and believe in my Son as your Savior, then my eyes are upon you to forgive you all of your sins, to watch over you, to guard you, to protect you, to show my might on your behalf because you are mine. It says in the Bible that we are the apple of God's eye. What's the apple of the eye? It's the little tiny center. It's the little dot in the center of your eye. He who touches you touches the apple of my eye, God says. I have a special eye upon my children. Like when Naomi had a little cheerleading thing recently and she had an exhibition, I went over there. There's girls all over the place, you know, high school cheerleading. I went into that auditorium. I looked around. And my eyes were restless until I found my daughter. And then my eyes for the rest of the time were fixed on him. It was like Naomi. It was like Naomi and everybody else. When God looks down on the earth, he looks for his people. His eyes are upon you. They're restless till he lights upon you. And he says, there's mine. There's my daughter. There's my son. And I love them. And that's God's heart. And he's there to protect us and to make us ride upon the heights of the earth. And this knowledge is also there to give you good hope in the midst of your trials, because you're not alone. When you're facing a trouble or a great challenge, a mountain, a giant that's coming against you, God says, but my eyes are upon you. Job says in his trouble, but he knows the way that I take. When he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I want you to know today that if you are facing a difficult moment in your life and you are a Christian, God's eyes are very careful upon you. He's taking note of every one of your difficulties, and he will not abandon you, but rescue you and deliver you and give you the strength to endure in the meantime. And finally, this gives us a great rejoicing, because just like our evil deeds have been erased by the blood of Christ, that day of accounting means that every good deed we've done in Christ shall be exalted and rewarded on that day when the books are open and they say, look, Jenna did this and this and this. Art did this and this and this. Pastor Menicky did this and this and this, etc. He's going to say, oh, you will by no means lose your reward. For the sins of some men are conspicuous, pointing to judgment, says Paul, but others appear later. So also good deeds are conspicuous. And even when they're not, even when they're done in secret, they won't remain hidden. They're going to be proclaimed upon the housetops, and I shall greatly exalt you. Behold, I'm coming soon, says God, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he's done. So be rich in good deeds. I can't wait to bless you. And so in conclusion, I'll say this. This is Judges 18. Go in peace. The journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord. The careful, watchful eye. Amen. And the Lord who watches over you, I want you to know, doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's ever vigilant. He who keeps you will neither slumber nor sleep, for he's your keeper. He's the shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. In Christ Jesus, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Eyes of the Lord, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are 10 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church, capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you. Presence in this place, so I stay.